This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here today on WMIE 91.5 FM, Today's Modern Worship. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street in Merritt Island, and it is May the 5th, 2026. Hope that you are planning on having a great day. Lots of friends of mine have birthdays in May. Family members have birthdays in May. I have birthdays in May. Greg from Jits Concrete has birthdays in May. My board members, a lot of them have birthdays in May. And so, you know, may the month of May be a blessed month for you. And I'd like to say thank you to our friends at Wyrick Air, Dennis and Carla and their team. Dennis pastors a church here in Central Florida. He pastors a church in Geneva, but his business is based here in Brevard County. He lives here in Brevard County, and he brings the values of the Word, the business principles of the Word of God, to his business each and every day. So they've been providing professional sales, services, and repairs for air conditioning and heating solutions for over five decades now. They work in residential settings primarily, but they do some light commercial work as well, and even do emergency work when it is necessary. They used to do the electrical repairs as well. They've narrowed their focus to where it's AC and heating now, but they strive to provide their customers with the best service possible and an affordable price. If you are looking for someone that you can trust that will not take advantage of you in your hour of discomfort, the folks at Wyrick Air may be a great resource for you. Their license number is CAC 182-1309. Their phone number is 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. And we thank them for being a blessing to Brevard County, as well as friends of the Refresh Radio program. Today we're going to return to Hebrews chapter 10, and we're going to read verses 32 through 39, but we're also going to be in Habakkuk chapter 2. So verse number 32 of Hebrews 10 says, "But recall the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle, both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise." Then it has a variation of Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Here in Hebrews 10, it reads this: "For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him." And if you remember, we had visited Habakkuk chapter 2, where it says in verse number 2, "Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith." So you can see that the wording in these two passages is slightly different, but the message is sure that the things that God declares, that you can write them down, and that's what the prophets did. They wrote down the Old Testament prophecies, and those prophecies come with God's guarantee that at the appointed time, what has been spoken will come to pass. It will not lie, and it will not fail to show up. It will show up on time. In fact, it says, because it will surely come. Okay, so that's the way that it reads in Habakkuk. Now, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 37, it says, "For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry." And so there in the Old Testament, where it was talking about that God was going to take care of the Babylonians, who he was using as an agent of judgment against his covenant people, who were ignoring the covenant. It wasn't God that he was acting against them because he hated them. He was acting against them to give the land the Sabbath rest that it was supposed to have. And he was acting actually on their behalf so that they would come to realize that he is the faithful one. He's the one who could be trusted. And it was really to draw them back into that covenant relationship, which they were abandoning. So just as true as the judgment that was coming would in fact come, and it would not tarry, and it did, what is talked about in Hebrews chapter 10 is the promise of his coming. The one who is the just one. The one who is coming to snatch his bride away from this world. And you can read about the hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. But the good news is Jesus is coming. The world may not understand it. The world may not like it, but he's coming nonetheless. One of the things that I say as a distinction between the way that the devil operates and the way that God operates is the devil will tell you something, not disclose the fine print, and it's only after you have partaken of it that you realize that there was, you know, some conditions that you didn't know about, and it comes out to your disadvantage. When he acts in a secretive manner. He acts in a deceitful manner. He uses manipulation. When God operates, this is what he says. This is what I'm going to do, and there's nothing and no one who is going to stop me from fulfilling my plan. And so for the promises of God, I continue to thank God for them. And so you've heard me talk about the size of our church. We are thankful. We have been gradually growing over the past year. When COVID hit, it really had a big impact. I know it had an impact on a lot of churches around the world. When you're a smaller church and you get hit with several families and they end up relocating, it has a much larger impact, because there's not that large of a pool of people. And so we are thankful that new people have been coming and new people have been getting involved, and we are excited about that. The reason that I tell you that is because there were promises that have come. I remember hearing a prophetic word about our church, and it literally did not make any sense at the time that it was said. But it came to pass. It was talking about things that technology didn't even exist at that point in time for that promise to become a reality. And I'm very thankful that it came to pass. In fact, there's a lady who was our worship leader back in those days. This was back in the 1990s and early 2000s. And she actually transcribed the prophetic words that came out, and we have them and still read them, and she asks about them whenever she comes by, and I said, oh yeah, I still have them. Well, there have been other prophetic words that have been spoken, and we just continue to believe that God is going to make those things come to pass, whether it's in my lifetime or, if the Lord should tarry, whether it's a future lifetime. I was having a conversation with someone, and they were talking about a word that had been spoken over a particular church, and the pastor at the time thought that word was relating to him, but it was actually a word for the church, and that guy wasn't around when all of a sudden those things that had been prophesied began to take place. Someone asked me, how are you going to feel if, you know, the things that have been prophesied come to pass after you're gone? I said, well, how would you feel about them if they happen after you're gone? I'm just going to celebrate that God has a plan, and my job. Now, this is an interesting statement. A person that I was in conversation with said, that person that thought that prophetic word was talking about their tenure, they said they never prepared, they never acted, they never set the stage for that prophecy to come to pass during their stay at that particular church. I want to set the stage, and so I was watching a video clip of a pastor who was preaching, and he was talking about this article that he had read. It was written by a younger person, and this younger person was talking about that they were in the process of rediscovering not just the presence of God, but the holy presence of God. They were talking about how they had transformed the concept of coming into the presence of God into a manner that was comfortable for them, therapeutic for them. And thank God that when we come into his presence, there's fullness of joy. When God shows up on the scene. He brings his entire entourage with him. Very thankful for that. But this person was having an epiphany that he is the Holy One. And when we come, it's not just to make ourselves comfortable. We are coming to minister to God, to worship Him, to exalt Him, to behold Him in the beauty of His holiness. So thank God that when He says something, it's going to come to pass, and He has promised that Jesus is coming again. And like it says here in Hebrews chapter 10, He is coming, or he who is coming will come and will not tarry. When the Father speaks to Jesus and says, it's time to go get your bride, the Bible describes how long that process will take. It's the twinkling of an eye. It's less than a second. So let me share some of my human frailty with you. Here several weeks ago, I had an intestinal bug that was going around the community, and I had had to go and rescue one of my family members who had fallen victim to that, and transported them, spent a lot of time with them, and about a week later, I got surprisingly awakened in the middle of the night by the same joy that they had been experiencing. And it's dark, but I'm fully awake. I was not groggy or anything like that. I was fully awake. I was awake before and awake during, and finally I'm making my way back to the bed, and all of a sudden, without warning, I found myself, I'd taken a drink of water on the way back to bed, and all of a sudden, perspiration started coming up on my forehead, and I couldn't walk the way that I was wanting to walk. And the next thing I knew, I was in the process of passing out, and didn't completely pass out, but I ended up sitting down at a box of papers. And that never happened to me before. And let me tell you about those couple of seconds, because that's all it was. It was a couple of seconds. I didn't have time to ask Jesus to forgive me of my sins or be the Lord of my life. Thankfully, that's already been taken care of. But there are a lot of people who live their life under the deception that they're going to have the awareness of mind that if something happens just like that, just like the snap of your fingers, that all of a sudden Jesus is going to become the priority of their life. I can tell you, I love Jesus. I think about His Word, study His Word, preach His Word, teach His Word, worship Him, pray. And in those 2 minutes, all I was looking for was something to hold on to that would keep me from hitting the floor. So I mentioned that not to, you know, share my medical history with you, but to open your eyes to the fact that that plan of, I'm going to wait till the very last minute. That is a plan of eternal destruction that the enemy has convinced people, well, it's going to be okay. You'll have plenty of time. You might not have plenty of time. And that's if you even, have a couple of seconds. Well, the Bible talks about that the return of Jesus will be in the twinkling of an eye. And that's, I think someone said, less than 1/10,000th of a second. So it will come to pass. So back to Habakkuk chapter 2. Verse number 4 says, "Behold the proud. His soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith." Again, this is a word against Babylon. Babylon was celebrating, the kings of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, his pride set him up for a tremendous humiliation. He ends up writing a chapter in the book of Daniel about his encounter with God. He talks about that he lost his power. He lost his home. He lived like a wild animal. He lost his dignity as far as his hair. And it wasn't until he humbled himself, and it took him over three years, until he was willing to lift his eyes up to the Lord. And when he did that, then his mind was restored to him. And then he was restored to his throne. Pride was a huge issue in Babylon. And pride is still a huge issue in the Babylonian system that continues to this day. Much of what goes on in the world, apart from the kingdom of God, actually has its roots founded in the Babylonian system. And then, like we've mentioned, on the last day of their existence, before the Medes and the Persians came in, they had held this great celebration, and they were celebrating in pride about all of their triumphs, and they crossed the threshold, if you will, into utilizing the holy utensils that had been set apart for God. And then guess what? God showed up with a handwriting on the wall, a hand inscribing things that they didn't understand. And all of a sudden, they said, "We don't understand. We're going to need somebody to help us to understand this." And Daniel shows up and he says, "You can keep your reward." And the Babylonian government fell. Daniel continued to serve the next kings that were on the throne. Behold the proud. Did you know that the Bible says God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble? The problem with pride is it is a native characteristic of the devil. He was filled with arrogance. Pride is a telltale sign. Here's what it says in verse number 4, that a person's soul is not upright in him. Whenever we live a life of pride, it is screaming, it is actually declaring to us and to everyone else, my soul is not right with God. So I love the contrast between King Saul and the Apostle Saul, who became the Apostle Paul. King Saul had started off, he had no intention of being king. He had the physical appearance. He stood head and shoulders above everybody else, and he had some military victories, but he had lost his father's donkeys, and then he couldn't find them, and he ended up having an encounter with Samuel, and Samuel anointed him. And on the day of his coronation, Saul was hiding because he thought that little of himself. King Saul ended up becoming so arrogant that he was doing everything he could to hold on to power, even though God said that he was going to rip the kingdom out of his hands. It was said of Saul that at one point in time, he was small in his own eyes, but he had been filled with arrogance, and he thought that he and he alone could sit on the throne. He was going to determine his successor, not God. Saul, in the New Testament, thought that he was all that in a box of Cracker Jacks, if you will. The word Saul means desirable. He was more zealous. He had the pedigree. He had the education. He had the family history. He had the passion. And he thought he was doing everything right. But then when he had his encounter on the road to Damascus, all of a sudden he had an awareness of who God was. And instead of viewing himself as to being the desirable solution, his name would be changed to Paul, which meant little. He had been delivered from his arrogance and his pride. And he says, if I'm going to boast, there's only one thing I'm going to boast about, and that's in the Lord. I hope that we can understand that when the Bible talks about he opposes the proud. He opposes the proud outside of the church. He opposes the proud inside the church. He opposes pride in everybody's life because it is indicative of a soul problem. If we will humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, it says this: he gives grace to the humble. If you're listening to me today and your soul is not upright before God, if you're not walking with him in humility, I ask you today, humble yourselves. Ask God to forgive you. Ask him to be the Lord of your life. Behold the proud. His soul is not upright in him. Jesus can change all of that in an instant. If he did it for Saul, who became Paul, he can do it for us. He can do it for me. He can do it for you. Let's be humble in the sight of the Lord. God bless you. You have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow here on the Refresh radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.